Even pagan ancient debauched Rome had a law called the Patria Potestas, the absolute authority of the father. I'm not advocating it. But the idea is that the father chooses the occupation of the son or daughter, chooses the wife of the son or daughter, and has absolute power of life and death in the child as long as the parent is alive. Only because Rome said it's good, it's right for children to obey their parents. Here God says it's right. And the word right is the Greek word dikaios. 81 times it's in the Bible, New Testament. Most of the times it's translated righteous, or in accordance with God's commandment. Here's my point. To obey, to honor, to respect, to appreciate mom and dad is right. Not because the Romans said it's right, not because Americans say it's right, because God says it's right.
Studies show that names have a lot of influence. In fact, some suggest your name can be a predictor of the career you'll choose. For instance, people with a name like Dennis or Denise were more likely to become a dentist. And Cheryl, spelled with an S, is more likely to run a seashell shop than Cheryl with a CH. Really. And as for lawyers, giving your child a name like Laura or Lawrence may guarantee their interest in that field. Names have consequences. And today here on Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, Pastor Skip continues our teaching series, God's Top 10. This series takes the Ten Commandments and demonstrates their relevance for today. And in this study, we'll learn that the names we call our parents also have consequences. But first, here's Skip to tell you about how you can get in touch with him.
Hey, Pastor Skip here. If you want to stay up to date on the latest from this ministry, follow at Skip Heitzig on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's Skip, H-E-I-T-Z-I-G.
Now let's join Pastor Skip in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12.
Honoring your parents extends even towards your in-laws. Now, some of you are thinking, Skip, you crossed the line now. You were preaching before, now you're meddling. Because you might have a family where you're thinking, I honor my parents, your parents, that's your responsibility. I'm not going to honor them. I don't even like them around. Well, let me tell you a story from the Bible. David had a father-in-law who wanted to kill him. His name was Saul. He spent years of his life scouring the countryside to kill his son. In fact, Saul's father-in-law even used his own daughter, the wife of David, to kill David. That's what he tried to do. This was a weird, dysfunctional family. So anybody, if there was anyone who could say, I don't need to honor that, it would be David. But listen to this. David is hiding from father-in-law in a cave at En-Gedi, 1 Samuel 24. Saul goes into the cave not knowing David's in there. It's in the dark. Saul gets right next to David, doesn't even know it. One of David's soldiers says to David, hey, this has got to be the hand of God who has delivered Saul into your hands. Kill him. David turned to his soldier friend and said, I am not going to lift my hand against, listen to what he calls his father-in-law, God's anointed. God's anointed? The guy who's trying to kill you is God's anointed? That's how David saw him. I'm not going to raise a hand against God's anointed. What David does do is takes out his knife and he cuts a little piece of Saul's robe off. And then he feels really guilty that he did that. I can't believe it. I cut a piece of his robe off. Saul leaves the cave, goes on the other side of the valley with his soldiers. David comes out of the cave and waves that little piece, calls after Saul. Saul, check your robe. FYI, I could have killed you. I didn't do that. Even though it was told me that I should do it, I will not lift my hand against you, God's anointed. I don't know what your men are telling you, but I love you. Let's take a lesson. David didn't treat his in-laws like outlaws, but loved them, honored him, and even respected him. Now, there are restrictions to this. I have to say that. Look back at Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 1. Children, obey your parents. Now, notice this next part. In the Lord. That's a qualifying phrase. In the Lord. The general rule is the action of obedience coupled with the attitude of honoring. However, there are times when that is limited. There are exceptions. And when would that be? Whenever the father or the mother are trying to get their child to do something that's not in the Lord, something that's against the Lord. Do you remember in Acts 5 when a law was passed that said, you can't preach the gospel in Jerusalem? It's against the law. It's forbidden. And remember the response of the church? Church leaders didn't say, well, okay, obey the laws of the land, we won't preach. Peter said boldly, you're going to have to figure out if you think it's more right to listen to you or God, but as for us, we must obey God rather than men. In other words, we will respect the governmental authority, but when you cross the line to violate God's will, we're going to obey God, not you. Same in a home. If a dad says, you can't pray, you can't read your Bible, you can't have fellowship, that's flatly against God's law. Jesus put it this way, if you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So a child can never follow his or her parents into sin or take sinful advice. Okay, let's create a scenario. Here's a mom and a dad. They're both not saved. They have a child, let's say a teenager or in college, who has just recently become a Christian. And this young man is dating a young girl, and these two parents say, you know, we advise that you move in with your girlfriend and live together and have all of the benefits of marriage, including sleeping together without being married, because just, you know, you never know. You got to see if you like it. A child who's a Christian isn't going to say, well, I got to obey my parents. You say, no. That's not what the Bible says. Here is where I'm going to make a break because of that kind of restriction. It's not in the Lord. So all of that to say, boundaries sometimes have to be set. There are certain relationships that require distance, and to honor them would be different than in a normal, healthy relationship. And David and Saul are a good example. David honored his father-in-law, but there was quite a distance that Saul got away from the cave before David even came out and showed himself. David was protecting his life and his family and his men. So there are boundaries that are to be set. Let's look at the second part of this command, and we can close with that, and that is the security of the command personally. In keeping this commandment, since it has a promise attached to it, there's benefits to doing it. And number one would be a quality of life. Look at what it says. Honor your father and your mother. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, why does it say that here? It says that here because it said it there, right? Exodus 20, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. What does that mean? Well, remember the context of the Old Testament. What was the penalty for disobeying your parents, cursing your parents, hitting your parents in the Old Testament? You're right. It wasn't a guest appearance on The Simpsons. It was death. Capital punishment. Exodus 21:15, he who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21:17, he who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Well, it makes sense. Honor your father and mother that you can have a long life. It doesn't mean that all good kids live long and all bad kids die young. We've known that's not the case. Oftentimes, I've seen good children die young. We've seen disobedient, ornery people live way too long. How old was Adam when he died? 930 years old. How old was Jesus when he died? Incidentally, Paul calls him the second Adam, about 33. Adam outlived Jesus 30 times. Did Adam live a better life than Jesus? Far from it. Preposterous. So it has more to do with longevity of days. Certainly there's built into the commandment, but quality of days, that it may be well with you. So to live long, yeah, generally, because parents are given to safeguard children, and if children obey their parents, who are their safe guardians, they're going to live better and presumably even longer. It's not too hard to figure that out and figure out why. Obedient children will listen to their parents' warnings. I remember the warning. Here's one of them. Don't touch that motorcycle. It was a Honda 50. It went all of maybe 20 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour. Honda 50. But I thought, I'm 12 years old. I can handle a Honda 50. Don't touch the Honda 50. As soon as they were gone, got the keys, put it in the Honda 50, went down the street, and it was so fun till I crashed it. And I got hurt. And I could have gotten killed. Or the time my parents were leaving for dinner and said, Skip, Bob, don't fight. Okay. As soon as they left, we got into a fight. My brother threw me through the front window of the house. I landed on the lawn, broke the window, of course, broke me, of course. 2 weeks later, they went out again, or 3 weeks later, I threw him through the newly replaced front window of the house. Now, all of that pain could have been avoided by simply obeying the commands of father and mother. So they're given to safeguard children. Children don't always know danger. A child will grab shampoo and try to drink it, play with a knife, eat the cockroach in the corner. It takes a parent to go, no, don't do that. You don't love me. Why? Because you won't let me eat the cockroach. Solomon wrote to his son in Proverbs 3, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. So it makes sense that generally a child will live longer if he or she obeys his or her parents, because you're going to listen to their warnings. Also, an obedient child is going to avoid bad habits and bad friends. Don't smoke, mom will say. Don't drink, dad should say. Don't take drugs, they should both say. Or that friend of yours, bad stuff, bad news, stay away from him. I remember they warned me about Richard Wilhite. How dare they, I thought. They don't know him. He's my friend. I know him. He's a great guy. I remember I brought him home first time. Get rid of him. He's bad news. I can't believe you don't like him. Richard Wilhite ended up in prison and was later murdered for all sorts of drug charges. And they could see early on the seeds of that in that young man. And they tried to warn their son, who was stupid and chose not to obey his parents. So disobedience does bring consequences, and one of them may be a shortened life and certainly will be an unfulfilled life. It's like the mom who said to her 5-year-old daughter, honey, you obey me. If you don't, you'll have to live with the consequences. And the little girl said, no, 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 don't send me off to live with the consequences. I want to live here with you. But there are consequences that we live with. But there's benefits that we live with if we obey, and one of them will be a quality of life. Number two, a clear conscience. Verse 1, look at it again, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. It's right. Did you know that virtually every culture, ancient or modern, says it's right for children to obey their parents? It's good. It's good for society if you obey your parents. Even pagan, ancient, debauched Rome had a law called the Patria Potestas, the absolute authority of the father. I'm not advocating it. But the idea is that the father chooses the occupation of the son or daughter, chooses the wife of the son or daughter, and has absolute power of life and death in the child as long as the parent is alive. Only because Rome said it's good, it's right for children to obey their parents. Here God says it's right. And the word right is the Greek word dikaios. 81 times it's in the Bible, New Testament. Most of the times it's translated righteous, or in accordance with God's commandment. Here's my point. To obey, to honor, to respect, to appreciate mom and dad is right. Not because the Romans said it's right, not because Americans say it's right, because God says it's right. And the best way to live with a clear conscience is to do something because you know it's right before God. It pleases the Lord. Here's the complimentary verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Listen, there's something about doing something that doesn't feel natural to you, doesn't feel right. Oh, my parents treated me so bad, I'm not going to honor them. To say, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do something counterintuitive to how I feel because it's going to be right before God and I want to go to bed with a clear conscience. And I'll tell you what, I told you the episode with my father, what I did at my brother's funeral and embracing him. I'll tell you when that really paid off is when I buried my father. And I had a clear conscience at his casket. Because I did something that didn't feel good at the time, but I knew it was pleasing to God. That's the best way to live. Now, here's a thought in closing. There's only one person in all of history who's kept the fifth commandment perfectly. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one we're to follow. He's the one we're to look at and watch what he did and how he did it. And he said, I always do those things that please my Father. You might be thinking, well, Skip, look at who his father is. You don't understand my situation, Skip. I was abused by a father. I was abandoned by my parents. At 11 years old, I had to get a job to put bread on the table because he walked out of the family. You don't understand. But Jesus understands. When Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation, Satan came to him and said, hey, since you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. What was Satan implying? He was implying, your father doesn't take very good care of you, does he? He's not putting bread on your table, is he? So right now, do something to circumvent that. Or how about the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Maybe you look back to your child and you say, my parents never listened to my advice, never took my counsel. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Oh, but my parents forsook me. How about Jesus on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, very odd text of scripture, verse 10, for it pleased the Lord, the Father, to bruise his son. No one here has ever been bruised and hurt like Jesus Christ was on the cross for our sins. Now, please don't misunderstand me. No cards, letters this week that say, what are you saying, God's a child abuser? No. We know that that was redemptive, that that was for atonement. Here's my point. You can't say Jesus doesn't understand pain of relationship when he felt that separation and cried out on the cross. He understands better than you think. And the same Jesus Christ who knows what that hurt is like is the same Christ who lives inside of you and will enable you to love and honor and respect your parents. And that's not some psychobabble that you pay $85 an hour for. That's resurrection power of the Christ that lives in you who will enable you to do it. Now, there was a couple. They were both atheists. Self-proclaimed atheist, father and mother, had a 5-year-old daughter. One night in an argument, the man pulled out a gun and shot his wife, turned the gun on himself, committed suicide, all in the view of their 5-year-old daughter. How traumatic that would be. She never heard about Jesus. She never had an opportunity. She was raised up till 5 years of age in that kind of a home, and she watched her parents die. She was taken into foster care. One of the foster caregivers brought that little girl to church one Sunday morning to Sunday school and explained to the teacher what the background was. The teacher in class that day held up a picture of Jesus Christ, a painting, and says, "Did anybody here know who this is? And that little five-year-old girl from an atheist home raised up her hand and said, I know who that is. That's the man who was holding me the night my parents died. It's as if God built in by his grace the truth that he's a father to the fatherless. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. There's no such thing as a perfect child. But there is a perfect God who has a perfect will. And part of his perfect will is built into this commandment, honor your father and your mother. And he, by his grace, will help everyone to do that.
You know, honoring our parents may be hard, and honoring our in-laws may be even more difficult. But God gives a promise with the command, a promise for blessing. We'll find out more about that when we return with the conclusion of this teaching, Because I Said So, Part 2. And today's teaching was just one part of a dynamic look at the Ten Commandments that Skip calls God's Top Ten. And the entire series is available from the store at connectwithskip.com. You can get all 17 teachings bundled together as an audio CD package for only $39 plus shipping. Find out more at connectwithskip.com, along with this month's resource offer.
Here is Skip with Joel Rosenberg to talk about this month's offer, Joel's book, The Jerusalem Assassin.
When Joel Rosenberg releases a new book, I can't wait to read it. He never disappoints. Recently, I was able to talk with Joel about this book from his home in Jerusalem.
It's about an American president who's about to roll out his Middle East peace plan.
Joel Rosenberg's novels are dramatic stories ripped from the reality of today's headlines.
Wow, a Saudi-Israeli peace plan, that would be huge. That would be historic. Let's do it. Let's do a summit in Jerusalem. That's the setup of the Jerusalem Assassin.
Hey, what's amazing about that is this is a plausible scenario.
The Jerusalem Assassin by Joel Rosenberg is our special offer this month. Your hardcover copy of The Jerusalem Assassin is our thank you gift when you give $35 or more today to help expand this Bible teaching outreach with Skip Heitzig. So call now to get your copy. 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
I hope you will order your copy of The Jerusalem Assassin by Joel Rosenberg. You'll get a behind-the-scenes look at global events, and you will be supporting our media ministry.
That's 800-922-1888 or online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
A lot of people have questions when it comes to the future, and the Bible gives you the answers and assurances you need to find peace in Christ no matter what you're facing. That's why we want to invite you to help share God's Word with more people around the world through your gift today to keep this broadcast going strong. Visit connectwithskip.com/donate to give a gift and keep these biblical teachings coming to you and so many others. That's connectwithskip.com/donate or call 800-922-1888. 800-922-1888. Thank you.
Honoring our parents means obeying our parents. But is there a time to disobey? Skip will tackle that next time here in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.